Welcome to Radio IQ's Virginia On Demand for this Monday, a daily podcast from Radio IQ featuring the top stories across Virginia. I'm Jeff Bossert. Virginia's first onshore wind farm is taking shape in Botetourt County, Virginia, and recently reached another milestone. Mason Adams was there.
Construction is underway in Rocky Forge, a nearly 80-megawatt wind farm on North Mountain. A couple of ridges away, on Saturday, government officials and community boosters gathered with Apex Clean Energy and its contractors to sign a 254-foot wind turbine blade. It's a celebration of a milestone as the companies begin the process of erecting 13 wind turbines and mounting blades on them. It's taken 12 years to get to this point, since Apex first announced its plan to build the wind farm, and seven more since landowner Jerry Fraley began pursuing the idea in 2007.
I feel like I just opened up a big pit of coal, got it loaded, and it's on a railroad car, and I'm waiting on a check.
Fraley is a third-generation Wise County coal miner. In the 1960s, he began acquiring what turned out to be 10,000 acres of land in Botetourt. He negotiated with three previous energy companies before landing on Apex Clean Energy, based in Charlottesville. The project faced some local opposition, but was approved by the County Board of Supervisors and overcame three lawsuits to reach this point. Ken Young is CEO of Apex Clean Energy.
How do we make it work here? We're on top of a ridge. That creates a lot of expense. Can there be additional wind projects in Virginia? Yes, I believe so. The technology is so much better than when we started this development. For people that are against it, I think the answer is because of the benign wind regime and the expense of the projects, there's not going to be wind turbines everywhere.
Apex expects to finish construction of the wind farm and begin producing energy by the end of the year. Google will buy its power. In Gala, I'm Mason Adams.
A proposed high-voltage power line in the Commonwealth would run from Campbell County to Culpeper County, but that proposal has sparked major opposition along the route.
Eight of the nine impacted counties, all except Campbell, have passed formal resolutions of some sort opposing the line.
Cardinal News reporter Matt Bussey spoke with Fred Eccles about the motivation behind the proposal and why so many are against it. The conversation is up in a little while. The growing influence of artificial intelligence has made many workers and employers uneasy, uncertain of what it means for them. That's why the University of Virginia is offering a new internship, assigning more than 130 students to work on teams that will advise small businesses and nonprofits. Kemi Jonah is Vice Provost for Online Education and Digital Innovation.
Given how rapidly AI is transforming the labor market, students have a lot of anxiety about future job prospects, and we wanted to give our students a way to gain sort of real hands-on skills in AI. We thought, well, why not pair them up with local small businesses and help those small businesses adopt AI and gain the kind of efficiencies that have been promised at the same time?
The students are already online, completing a Google certification in AI before moving into their first consulting jobs. 26 companies in Northern Virginia, Richmond, Charlottesville, and Salem have signed up for the free program. Students won't be paid, but Jonas says they'll gain valuable work experience, and he hopes a better understanding of AI. The University of Virginia is a financial supporter of Radio IQ. The war in Iran could wind up being a good thing for Virginia's employment numbers. Michael Pope reports.
Unemployment is rising across Virginia, although Northern Virginia is seeing the most dramatic spike. That's according to the latest numbers from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Terry Clower, George Mason University, says the surge of defense spending because of the war in Iran could change the employment dynamics in Northern Virginia.
And it's not that we manufacture those particular munitions, but since the manufacturers of those munitions have their headquarters in Northern Virginia, as several of them do, there's a little bit of that money that actually would help us, even if the actual manufacturing occurs in another state.
John Provo at Virginia Tech says the rest of Virginia will probably also benefit because of the war.
We've had big announcements in the rest of Virginia that were related to defense manufacturing. So L3 near Charlottesville and the rocket producer that's going to go into Southern Virginia.
He says recent weeks have seen job announcements that are defense-related, but also from other sectors, including manufacturing, energy, and data centers. Michael Pope.
Five people were taken to the hospital for treatment of injuries in Granville, West Virginia, Saturday. That's when a strong wind tore through an area occupied by fans at the NCAA Morgantown Super Regional Baseball Tournament game between West Virginia and Cal Poly. Video from the storm at Kendrick Family Ballpark showed rain and wind that reached speeds of 40 miles an hour, tearing up a tent, with one person flying through the air while trying to hold it down as another rolls uncontrollably down a hill. The game was in a weather delay at the time. West Virginia University did win the game 17-1, advancing to the College World Series for the first time in program history. With the win, the Mountaineers improved to 45-15 on the season, setting a new program record for victories. Virginia's legislative watchdog recently reported on the impact of tax benefits given to the TV and film industries in the Commonwealth. Brad Kuttner has this report.
According to the report from Virginia's Joint Legislative Audit and Review Commission, the state has spent about $30 million a year on film and TV tax incentives since 2015. That's led to a, quote, moderate return on investment while bringing in about 1% of total national film production in the U.S. to the Commonwealth. According to the Virginia Film Office, the agency that helps bring and keep such production in the Commonwealth, the state's incentive program is much less than other states, but Prince William County Democratic Delegate Josh Thomas wondered if that moderate return was worth the investment. He comes from the Georgia locality that has become famous for film production in recent years, and after spending billions in tax incentives...
On a good year, they have still only captured 6%. And so I'm having trouble as to why Virginia would have a program at all.
But Fairfax Democratic Delegate Charnell Herring, who sponsored the budget amendment which extended the film tax incentives to 2031, said it was about keeping Virginia's film industry competitive and keeping Virginia stories in Virginia.
Make sure that we're telling our stories, benefiting our economy, providing opportunities for independent businesses that help support, whether it be a catering business, costume design.
Andy Edmonds runs Virginia's film office. He said Virginia's $30 million figure is actually too low as the industry changes and gets more competitive.
And in Virginia, we should be leaders in this space and understanding how to use these tools and how to integrate it into the storytelling process.
The film tax incentive sponsored by Herring is in the current budget, which is yet to be finalized. Lawmakers return to Richmond to finish the budget later this month. In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
A proposed extra high-voltage power line that would run from Campbell County to Culpeper County is drawing active opposition along its possible route. The line would carry 765 kilovolts of electricity, a rarity in Virginia. It would require a 200-foot-wide right-of-way and taller towers than most existing transmission lines. Valley Link, a partnership of power companies and related interests, is preparing to apply to the State Corporation Commission for permission to build the line. Cardinal News reporter Matt Bussey is covering the story. He spoke with Fred Eccles.
Matt, Valley Link says this line is essential for Virginia. Why do they argue that it's essential?
Dominion Energy, which is one of the companies in the Valley Link partnership, says that its electricity demand could almost double by the year 2040. Data centers, I think, are the biggest driver of that, but there's also electrification of manufacturing, population growth, people buying more electric vehicles, factors like that. Another issue, according to Valley Link, is the reliability of the grid. There's an organization called PJM, which manages the electric grid that covers 13 states, plus Washington, D.C., and PJM identified this project as being important for the reliability. Opponents will argue it's really all about the data center growth, which is heavily concentrated in Northern Virginia. They say that if there weren't all of these data centers, high demand and reliability wouldn't be an issue. They object to the line coming through rural Virginia to serve Northern Virginia's electricity needs, in their view.
The line would pass through nine counties. Most of them say they don't want it. What are the counties doing to try to sway the State Corporation Commission to deny this application?
Eight of the nine impacted counties, all except Campbell, have passed formal resolutions of some sort opposing the line, and at least three of them have committed up to $250,000 each out of their budgets for potential legal expenses as they go before the State Corporation Commission. This will come out as a regulatory case before the SEC. The case will involve lawyers, testimony from various parties, and so the counties are basically saying they're willing to spend some money to have a seat at the table and have their voices heard. I think a lot of the things the local governments are going to bring forward are things that we've heard at County Board of Supervisors meetings. In particular, a lot of residents are opposed to this project. They don't want their property being used for it. They feel like it would harm the county's rural character, property values, that sort of thing. And regarding the local governments, it's worth noting that although the counties don't approve or reject the transmission line, they do have some authority over the electric substations that are the endpoints of the line. One of those endpoints is in Culpeper County, and the substation there has not actually been built yet. And so it's possible that Culpeper County could deny the application to build the substation,
which would create a whole new realm of legal uncertainty.
It certainly would. And that hypothetical question came up at a Culpeper County Board of Supervisors meeting in May. One of the supervisors asked Valley Link, you know, what happens if we don't allow this substation? And a Valley Link representative indicated that they would do some research on potentially seeing if the SCC authority could override the local government authority in approving the substation. That is one possible scenario that could play out.
During the month of June, Valley Link will be hosting a series of public meetings about the project. Matt Bussey reports for CardinalNews.org. I'm Fred Eccles.
Cardinal News is a nonprofit online independent news organization covering Southwest and Southside Virginia. In the forecast, spotty rain chances the next few days, especially by midweek. Today, pretty cloudy for most. A little more sunshine along the I-95 corridor, possibly a couple of showers and storms later on in the southwest. A little breezy, too. Highs in the upper 70s to around 88 for Roanoke, 92 for Danville. More clouds throughout the region tonight. Possible lingering showers in the southwest. Patchy fog possible for the Shenandoah Valley overnight. Lows in the upper 50s to mid-60s. Pretty cloudy Tuesday. A bit more clearing along I-95. Some showers and storms possible in the southwest again. Breezy. Highs in the mid-70s to 87 for a high in Charlottesville, Danville, and Fredericksburg. Showers and storms possible Wednesday. Breezy. Highs in the upper 70s to around 92 in Fredericksburg and Richmond. Thanks for listening to Virginia On Demand. A little reminder, subscribe and tell your friends about it. For Radio IQ, I'm Jeff Bosser.